studio guy instead of a bunker guy. When I was a bunker guy, I wore jackets without shirts. Now I wear jackets and shirts. You see, I'm much more sophisticated now. Thank you very much. Swiftly, not shortly. I thought that was a great study yesterday. I pat myself on the back for that. And it's so interesting. Look at this detail, too. That's the whole principle that I'm going to keep showing you is that, and this is a wonderful principle, great lesson to learn, going to comfort you in your own life, is God is swift with judgment and lingering with blessing. Because look at this. At the end of Revelation, in Revelation 22:20, I told you before there's a correlation between the opening of the book of Revelation and the conclusion. That is we'll just say it that way, the opening and the conclusion. He's coming swiftly in chapter 1, verse 2, or is it 3? Read 1 through 3, you'll find it. And in verse 20 of chapter 22, at the end of the book, yes, I am coming swiftly. Same word, I am coming swiftly. So, again, he's going to come in the same manner that the judgments occur. It's going to be wham, bang. None of this delayed coming, none of these theories that Jesus Christ is slowly revealing himself through the lives of his saints. And as we are being processed here on earth, the life of Christ is being made manifest in us. Yes, it is, but it's so dang slow that in order for it to have the salubrious effects that Christ's coming is going to have on the planet, that we have to put ourselves in an accelerated pace here because it just ain't happening fast enough. If you haven't noticed, the only bumper sticker, Christian bumper sticker I ever saw that I liked said, "Be patient, God isn't finished with me yet." So he certainly is not manifesting the fullness of his life in me yet. Some of it, yes, I'm actually showing some of the life of Christ, but don't put a clock watch on me, a stopwatch on me, please. Put maybe a calendar on me, but not a stopwatch for the love. For the love of God, don't do that. Look at this. The unveiling contains seals, trumpets, and bowls. Three different aspects of judgment. Seals, not the SeaWorld seals. No, I'm not going to see beach balls or whales or seals. These are governmental disclosures, governmental orders. Seals, trumpets, and bowls. The cool thing is that the seals cover years. They're not as severe. God's judgments increase in severity in the book of Revelation. We're going to see this as we go on. Seals cover years, trumpets months, but the bowls are poured out in a few days. The bowls are the most severe judgments of God in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And these occur within days. So God's always been this way. He's lingering. Judgments swift and short, blessings linger long. Judgments swift and short, blessings linger long. Sing that to your kids before bed at night. I think it's very comforting. This should also have a vital bearing for us on the insane Christian doctrine of eternal torment, because God is never lingering in his judgments. So this really prejudices us, or should prejudice us, against the insane teaching that some people will be tormented in hell forever. It's not true. There's some spiritual beings who, very, very rare situation where spiritual beings are being tormented for the eons of the eons, but you won't find that in humanity, in the realm of humanity. You just won't. So I'm glad to say that. Now, today we're going to look at the coming of Jesus Christ, and as we just read at the end of the unveiling, the same word is used, yes, I'm coming swiftly, as is used at the beginning of the book, that he's telling his slave what must occur swiftly. Same word is used. Now, I would wish here that the word was quickly, and I don't like A.E. Knox translation here. Of course I do. I'm just being facetious, but it would be better if the Lord was coming quickly. And I believe he is, but when these words were written, he sure wasn't going to come quickly, or soon, I should say. He wasn't going to come soon. That's the word I wish was here. I wish the King James would say soon. I wish it was soon when it comes to the coming of Christ. But it isn't. And as evidence of that, we are still waiting. The appointed time is still ahead. But when the appointed time does come, Jesus Christ himself said that his coming would be like flashes of lightning. And it would be such a surprise that he compares it to a thief in the night. A thief in the night comes swiftly. He's in and out. He doesn't linger in your house. He doesn't necessarily come quickly. As soon as he decides to come to your house, he might wait for a few nights. He doesn't do it quickly. He doesn't do it soon. I keep saying quickly. He doesn't do it soon. He does it swiftly. And so we know that when the Lord does come, every analogy he gave us backs this up, that it's a swift coming. And it's going to take many people unawares. And we have the parable of the 10 virgins. Half were foolish, half were wise. They did not know the hour of the coming of the bridegroom. The hour, not the millennia. He doesn't come over a period of hundreds of years, as we have been taught in some circles. His coming is gradual in the lives of his saints. No, they're speaking of being aware of the hour of his appearing. The hour. You did not know at what hour the bridegroom will arrive. So, poor Israel. I'm going to contrast now Israel's expectation with ours. Israel's, the coming of Christ for Israel. I'll say this. The common denominator is he's going to come just as swiftly for Israel as he comes for us. Even more swiftly for us, actually. Even more swiftly. Not soon, because man, we're still waiting, but swiftly. Because we will be changed in a moment. In the casting of an eye. King James says twinkling. That's a dumb word. You can find an article about that on my website. In the tossing of an eye, we who are alive will cast our eye, and when we see him, we'll be changed. It's going to be in an atomos, an uncut moment of time. Talk about a swift coming, right? In the meantime, we wait and we wait and we wait and we wait. But when it happens, it's going to happen fast. Israel, it's going to be fast. He's going to come like the lightning. And his feet are going to appear. He's going to appear on Mount Olives, on the Mount of Olives. His feet are going to touch down there. But it's even more swift with us. But Israel has time pegs. They have times and seasons that they are to look for and await. And they will know the times and seasons because Jesus, in his analogies of the coming kingdom, compared it to a mariner or those who are expert at judging the sky to see if the sea will be fit for travel. They read at night, sailors delight. Read in morning, sailors take warning. Jesus gave his rendition of that, I believe, in Matthew 24. You look for the seasons. Look for the fig ripening. Look for times. Israel is going to know the times. That's why I have a book that I'm going to share with you, Chronology in the Scripture, that speaks of when the millennium will dawn. What year? I'm not kidding. This guy has a year. This is very exciting. Based on a principle, but also based on times and seasons. And the coming is as swift as the judgment in Israel. But now the contrast, I told you just now the similarities between the body of Christ and Israel, and that the Lord's coming is going to be swift. Swifter for us than for them, but still not some crazy, lingering, long, drawn-out affair. The waiting is crazy, long, and drawn out, but not the coming. But the beautiful thing about the body of Christ is we have no time pegs to look for in anticipation of the Lord coming for us. So when John writes, when the Lord says through the writings of John, "Lo, I'm coming swiftly," Israel, even in that context, still has to look for seasons, the way the sky is behaving, the way the era is behaving, wars, rumors of wars, the figs, the fruit, to know when the time is right. But for us, there is no time peg. That means that his snatching away for us is not based on any signs we're going to see. It's not based on anything you're looking at in Israel right now. It helps to know that things are lining up for a one-world government. It helps to know that plans are being made to rebuild the temple. It helps to know that people are planning for the priesthood again. It's great to know all that. It means that it's even closer. But as far as the hour goes, or the atomos, the uncut moment of time, it can happen anytime. We are not to look for signs. We don't know whether it's going to be 100 years before these events of Israel transpire or 100 minutes. We just know that it's going to happen before. And we know that Paul himself looked forward to it. When we, the living, he uses the pronoun we the living who are remaining to the presence of the Lord will be snatched away together with him. He says that in 1 Thessalonians 4. So he expected to be snatched away in his day. It wasn't until, I believe, he writes the book of Timothy that he realizes it's not going to happen in his lifetime. So that comforts me, and it should comfort you, because as you've heard me say, my answer to people now when they say, Martin, when's this going to happen? I tell them 5 minutes from now, because I live believing that. There ain't no tomorrow, folks. You've got to live for today. How blessed we are to be able to live out Jesus' exhortation. Give no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've often envied animals because they don't brood about the past and they don't worry about the future. They just live in the present. That's what we're supposed to do. It's much easier to do that when the promise of our deliverance can happen at any moment. Really, it gives your problems a perspective. All the burdens in life should feel lighter to you in light of the expectation of our imminent deliverance out of mortality.